of what I've entitled Living Free. Living Free. People are facing different things today. People are facing different things. Sickness. We know one young lady just found out this morning in the hospital fighting for her life, a young mother. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. Spiritually, physically, financially, relations. We're just in a different world. Even in the last 18 months, we're in a different world than what we were in 2019. Living free. Living free to where we trust God, we focus on God. And so this series, this short series that I'm teaching from, is telling us about the helper that Jesus sent to us, speaking of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit," capital S. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that it's food to our souls today, food to our hearts, Lord. You said it's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path so that you can show us the way. God, may we hear your word today. May we receive your word. May we apply it to our life. Give us the faith to carry it out. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we talked about who the Holy Spirit is. It's important to know who the Holy Spirit is and his roles in our life. The Holy Spirit has roles in our life. Without the Holy Spirit, without recognizing the Holy Spirit, we're missing part of the Godhead. Father God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And so these three entities that work in unity, work in one, they don't strive against each other. They work together as one to bless you, to help you, and to prosper us in all of our ways, is what the Bible says. Remember what Jesus said. We talked last week about what Jesus said concerning the Holy Spirit. In John 16:7, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper," notice that's capital H, Jesus is referring to the Holy Spirit, "the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." So we know Jesus departed. He left this earth. After some 33 years on earth, he left, but the Holy Spirit was sent, the Bible says, to our advantage as our helper. And there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of concern about the Holy Spirit, and that's the reason you don't hear it very much. We're concerned about the Holy Spirit because we don't know who he is. We don't know how he operates. But he's very much a part of the Godhead. He's very much a part of our lives. The Holy Spirit is sent to us by Jesus to be our helper. So Jesus' plan for the Holy Spirit is for him to be imparted to each one of us to help us 24/7. The helper is always with us. We talked about that last week. When things are going well, the Holy Spirit is with us. When things are going crazy upside down, the Holy Spirit is with us. It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Bible says. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. When we look at the original Hebrew in the Old Testament, we see that spirit means ruach, which means a wind, a breath, a violent exhalation, a blast of breath. That's the meaning of spirit in the Old Testament. We see it for the first time in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, where it says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God," capital S, "the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." So the meaning of that, again, is wind, breath, violent exhalation, blast of breath. When we look in the New Testament at the meaning of spirit in the original Greek, it means pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, which also means a current of air, blast of breath, a strong breeze. It's interesting that both the Old Testament and New Testament, the meaning of spirit in both is a wind, a breath, the Spirit of God. What a powerful correlation between spirit and wind or breath. We'll give you some characteristics to start, characteristics of wind or breath, a current of air. The first thing is it's unseen. You know I'm breathing because I'm standing here talking to you, but you can't see my breath. You can't see me breathing. You see the benefit of my breath, but you don't see the breath itself. And so the Spirit of God is. We see the benefit, we see the power, we see the manifestation of the Spirit of God in what Jesus continues to do, but we don't see the Spirit, which leads to some concern among even churches today. We don't see the Holy Spirit, nor do we see Jesus or God. But the Holy Spirit is different. Holy Spirit is different. It's the Holy Spirit might make you do something that you don't want to do, and all those things that are of concern and made up. But I want us to describe this a little more. I want us to talk about this so that we're accepting to the Holy Spirit. We know His purpose. We know His role, and we apply it to our life. So He's unseen. Wind is unseen. We all have to breathe in order to be alive. Without breath, we're not living. So Jesus sent the Holy Spirit so that we have life, that we're breathing, that we're alive, that we're operating, that we're functioning in Christ as He wants us to function. And so we feel breath, but we don't see it. We feel the Holy Spirit, but we don't see Him. But He's present. He's present because we experience His effects. Now, over the last several years, we've experienced the effects of wind through Irma and through Matthew. We saw the great winds that come and the changes that wind makes. So wind makes changes. We sense wind. There are obvious effects. There are also obvious effects to the Holy Spirit. John 20:29 says, Jesus said to him, speaking to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So believing in the Holy Spirit, believing in who He is, that He's the Spirit of Jesus Christ sent by God to be our comforter, to be our helper, we believe in Him. Blessed are those who have not seen but yet believed. Another characteristic of a breath or wind that correlates to the Holy Spirit is unpredictable. Wind is unpredictable. Wind may shift to the left or shift to the right. It may go at high speeds or go at low speeds. Wind is unpredictable. See, we're not supposed to predict the Holy Spirit. We're not supposed to predict the Holy Spirit no more than we predict what God is doing or what Jesus is doing. As a matter of fact, we can't comprehend what He's doing anyway. If we tried to put a framework around the Holy Spirit or God or Jesus, it would always blow our minds and blow our expectations, blow our predictions. Wind is unpredictable. Wind, it may come from the east, it may come from the west, and it does what it wants to do. We cannot contain the wind. It's unpredictable. We cannot contain the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not containable, nor is the Holy Spirit to be containable. And so our hesitation is that the Holy Spirit is unpredictable. We know that He's there, and He's unpredictable. John 3:8 says this, "The wind blows where it wishes." Jesus said this talking to Nicodemus. "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." So the Spirit being alive and well in us is unpredictable in the sense that we know that whatever the Holy Spirit does is going to be fruitful, is going to be to our advantage, Jesus says. The Spirit living in us, we don't know which way it's coming from or which way it's going. In other words, we're not made to do something that we're not wanting to do. But there's an encouragement as we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is sensitive. He's very sensitive. He's sensitive to his surroundings. But there are things that the Holy Spirit does and will do, lead us even to do, encourage us to do, that may be beyond what we normally would do. Have you ever been in a situation where you're talking to somebody and maybe you brought up a testimony or you brought up something that was going on? You had no plans to bring that up, but something prompted you to say that? Many times that's the Holy Spirit prompting you to say what's going to be said, because the impact of that to the other person is greater than what you would ever imagine. You may not ever know the impact of what you said. So the Holy Spirit living in us and we welcoming the Holy Spirit in us causes us sometimes to be unpredictable, even to ourselves, because we're encouraged to do things that would be an encouragement to someone else. Sometimes the Holy Spirit encourages me to stop by someplace and to see someone so that they could be an encouragement to me. Has that ever happened? You didn't realize you needed encouragement, but you stopped and talked to someone, and lo and behold, they said something that was key to your life. You know, that's what it is to be family. That's what it is to be family of God. Doesn't matter if we've never met each other before. We can, if we trust in God and serve God and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, we can meet someone and have. We have many people that come here from all over the United States, sometimes outside of the country, that come here to visit, and it's like we've known each other for years because there's a connection through Jesus Christ. And so we talk and we share together, and we realize in 5 minutes God's doing something in their life that's an encouragement to me, and vice versa. And so the Holy Spirit living in us, when we say he's unpredictable, he's unpredictable in the sense that whatever he does good. It's fruitful. It's to our advantage. It's not scary or to scare people off. It's not to, oh my goodness, that's weird. They were bouncing off the ceilings. You know what I'm saying? Some people have said over the years, well, do y'all handle snakes? I said, no, my wife would not allow that. That's weird. Honey, it's okay. Snakes are put up now. No, I'm kidding, but you get these ideas of the Holy Spirit making people do strange things, and we see throughout the Word of God that the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with God the Father, Jesus the Son of God, and working as our helper to encourage us. There's more advantages to this too. But in order for us to trust the Holy Spirit, we've got to have faith in God. Our relationship with the Holy Spirit begins at our relationship with God, with Jesus, recognizing them in our life, receiving. We believe on Jesus Christ. We confess him with our tongue, the Bible says, and we're saved. It's through that very beginning stage of our relationship that we receive the Spirit of God, and we understand that through the Spirit, he gives us the ability to do these type things that he's called us to do. And that is just to be led by him, to listen to the Holy Spirit. And we know that having faith in God and trusting him, trusting the Holy Spirit in our life, that we can do greater things through him than what we could do on our own, greater than we can imagine. The third characteristic I want to show you is he is powerful. The wind is powerful. The wind is powerful. The wind can blow a path where there's no path. The wind can take trees out of the way like it sticks. I mean, it can uproot trees out of the ground that's taken 100 years to grow. The wind is powerful. The wind can cause big ships to turn. We've seen that in the last 12 months. Or was it that the big ship turned and was lodged? That was from the wind. The waves aren't waves without the wind blowing them to create waves. The wind is powerful. And so is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, like wind, interpreted as wind, breath, can do things in our life, can take things out of the way that can create paths in our life that we never thought was possible. He can remove things that's been a stumbling block for us just like that and create a way where we didn't see that there was a way. The Holy Spirit is powerful. And he can do things in a second that would take us a lifetime to accomplish and may not ever. The wind can change the temperature. We've been outside sitting out by the marsh, and the temperature feels like it's dropped 6 or 7 degrees. When a certain wind comes through there and blows through, ooh, you feel that. Chilly. So the wind can change the temperature. The wind can change the atmosphere in your life. He's powerful. He can cause things to work around in your life that you didn't think was possible to work out as we allow the Holy Spirit to move. Now, the Holy Spirit will not take control of your life unless you invite him in to do so. No more than Jesus taking your heart without you wanting him to take your heart. We invite the Holy Spirit into our life and say, lead me. I want you to help me. I want you to direct me. Acts 1, verses 5 through 8 says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, now John was sitting with the disciples. Jesus was explaining the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, therefore, when they had come together, they asked Jesus, saying this, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So Jesus was trying to explain the power of the Holy Spirit, and they were trying to intellectually understand it and understand the definition, the purpose of the Holy Spirit. We can't describe the Holy Spirit in our words. I mean, I'm doing the very best I can, which is only scratching the surface. But the power, the Holy Spirit is so powerful, we can't describe what he does, how he does it, and in what way he does it. And the disciples were even asking Jesus the same thing. But if we look in verse 7, and Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know. Wow, okay. There's limited understanding of the Holy Spirit because our minds can't comprehend it, number one. And number two, he's unpredictable. He's going to do things that we don't expect him to do. There are certain things that we do not know. Jesus said, it's not for you to know. Times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. As you receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the same power, the power that the Holy Spirit has, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. The Holy Spirit is bigger than we can explain or understand. And the power that's given us through the Holy Spirit is not for us to be Superman or to be the Incredible Hulk or to be the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit is to help us, to encourage us, to do the same to others, and to bring glory to God. That's it. It's not for me to go on TV, and I mean, I'm not against that. What I'm saying is the purpose of that is to bring glory to God, not the glory to me or to any one person or to my books or to any people. So as long as our heart is in the right place, even those people that are doing that, if the heart's in the right place, bringing glory to God, then they're fulfilling God's purpose. You understand? 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men were among you for your sake. The Holy Spirit is power. The Holy Spirit is power to do things that we cannot do. We cannot create a path. We cannot create a way where there seems to be no way. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, he can create a way where there seems to be no way and do it that quick. So these are characteristics of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would be to our advantage. What is that advantage? Number one is rest. Rest. I'm not talking about sleep. We need sleep. But some people sleep but don't get rest. I've done that before. I've slept, but I get up the next morning and feel like I've been drugged behind a truck. I have not rested worth a lick. Rest is where our strength comes in the Lord. We have to have rest in order to fulfill God's purpose. The Holy Spirit brings rest. The Holy Spirit understands the importance of rest. We must come to a place of rest in our mind, in our emotions, in our soul, in our body. There are adverse effects to living without rest. God made us to where we had to have rest. Rest in every part of our being, mind, soul, body, spirit. We've got to have rest. Without rest, we cannot successfully live a healthy life. Sometimes without rest, there are things going on in our body that are there because of lack of rest. We can come to a place of rest through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes, I believe, number one, to give us rest. We cannot successfully serve God without rest. Without rest, I think one way. With rest, I think another way. Right? Have you ever been there? You're more sensitive in a way everything offends you when you're without rest. Does that make sense? You looked at me wrong. You said, I don't know why you did that. We get our feelings hurt when we don't have rest. It's not healthy to be without rest. We can't successfully be a good witness for God without rest. We can't successfully be a true friend because the advice I'm going to give you out of non-rest is not real good. We become exhausted. We become tired out. We push ourselves, burned out, outright discouraged, all because of lack of rest. This mind has got to have rest. If we plug in an iPhone and think it's got to be charged and we plug it in for it to How much more do we as people need rest? Right? We've got to have rest. Isaiah 63:14 says, as a beast goes down into the valley, and the Spirit of the Lord causes him to rest. So you lead your people. God leads his people to make yourself a glorious name. Rest. We've got to have rest. Holy Spirit is our helper to help us to get rest. Sleep is one thing. We need to be, and if we rely on the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, show me. I was talking to somebody this morning, and I'm one that has to have rest. After about 3 days of non-rest, Crystal says about 11 o'clock at night, I get giddy. Well, after about 3 days, giddy is not even the word. I don't know what it is, but it's not good. It's not good for us to go without rest. We can't accomplish for God what we need to accomplish for God unless we have rest. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He causes us to get rest, guides us to get rest. Rest. Rest also is a matter of peace, that we come to a place of peace. So I had someone call me the other day. It's been a little while ago. He calls and says, Pastor Mike, I've got some things I need to tell you. I said, okay. And I said, go ahead and tell me. He said, you mean right now, right here on the phone? I said, yeah. You got something to tell me? Tell me. So he began to tell me, and two major things that he told me. He told me the first one, and then told me the second one, and he hesitated, and I was holding the phone, like, okay. And he said, I hate to dump this on you. I hate to ruin your day. And I said, you're not ruining my day at all. He said, I'm not. I said, no. I said, you remember how I talk about rest every Sunday and talk about peace? Yeah. Well, I don't just talk about it. I apply it to my life and I live it. So what you just told me, if I decide to take a nap this afternoon, I'll take a nap. But my heart rate has not gone up one bit since you told me what you just told me. Why? Because I'm resting in God. So that rest comes, the fruit of that rest comes when we're awake. So it's not just the matter of closing our eyes and sleeping for 7 or 8 hours a night, which I strongly encourage you to do. But it's beyond that. It's that rest that we apply to our life in peace, that we know that whatever we face, we rest in God. And so that news that was brought to me, I listened to it. I prayed about it. I've prayed about it. I've decided what I'm supposed to do with the news that was brought to me. But I don't let it take rest from me. I don't let it take my peace. I don't let it take my joy, because I rest in the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Sometimes life is impossible. Sometimes life brings us and deals us things that we don't understand. But if we rest in God, we know that He's going to take care of it. It's not up to me to make things in life happen. That right there can set some of you free. It's not your business nor my business to make some things in life happen. We're to be obedient, to do what God's called us to do. But the fact of the matter is, the truth from God's word is that we need to allow Him to have control and to work things out. Right? And we could say, well, do you know what they're saying about you? Do you know what's being said? Do you know? Listen, it really doesn't matter. I could chase all the things that are being said today, and I would wear myself out trying to chase it 24/7 for the next few months. What would I accomplish? I'm doing what God has called me to do, so I'm trying to encourage you to do the same thing. And some people just want a juicy story anyway. Some people just want something to talk about. There was a song that was written not long ago. Give me something to talk about. Some people are just looking for juicy news. They don't care about both sides of the story. They just want the side of the story that's the juiciest so that they can run with that and have a heyday. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You're acting innocent. Rest in the Holy Spirit. Second advantage of the Holy Spirit, direction. The Holy Spirit brings direction. The Holy Spirit brings direction. How many decisions do we make in a day's time that we need the Holy Spirit to bring direction to our life? Oh my goodness. If we prayed and said, Holy Spirit, give me direction in the situation, we may be a little farther down the road. I talk to people all the time, and they're seeking direction. They have no clue about what to do in situations, whether it's in their personal lives or in business life or whatever. They're looking for direction. They're wanting an answer to what they're facing, when really all it is required is, Holy Spirit, show me your way. Give me ears sensitive. Give me a heart sensitive to hear you and to follow you. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. Our weakness looks for the easiest way to go. We don't like to go against the current. We don't like to go against the tide, do we? Give me the easiest way. But you know what? There's something to be said about the Lord giving us direction that's right up against the current, because we know that it's His power to pull us through it rather than our own. We'd rather just go around the side, be real quiet, get around this thing. And sometimes the Holy Spirit says, no, you know what? I'm going to be with you, but I want you to go through the fiery furnace. I just want you to just roll your sleeves up and just walk through the fiery furnace. When you come on the other side, you're not even going to smell like smoke. I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to bring you out. So it's not against the Word of God to say that we're given instruction sometime, direction sometime by the Holy Spirit to walk right into the face of fire. Why would God do that? Because He's God. There's something more that He's trying to develop, possibly in you, possibly in my life through you, possibly in someone else's life through you. At any rate, God is God, and by the Holy Spirit, He directs us to do things that He says to help us in our weakness. Our weakness is that we want to do things easy and quick, get it done. Where's the reward? Microwave. I want my popcorn yesterday, please. That's the way we are as humans, especially here we are with all the quick things in life. You know, used to we had to send a letter by the mail and hope they got it in 3 days just to say hi. They send a letter back 3 days later, hi. But now you FaceTime, we see the children alive. Goodness. Everything's instant. Everything's now. Why can't God get with it? Doesn't God know that we are used to instantaneous? The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Goes on to say, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now God, says now He, God, who searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Who wants to be in the will of God? We all do. And the Holy Spirit knows what the will of God is. So the direction He gives us puts us right on point on the will of God. Well, I don't feel I'm on point. Well, that's okay. We don't go by feelings. We go by faith, right? And so as He leads us, as He gives us direction, there have been many things over the years that I was certain to do. Some of them I didn't do. I missed God. I said, God, that can't be you. That's too far out. That's not something I will do, so that can't be you. And then I learned, you know what? If I had done that, okay, next time I'm going to say yes, God. So the next time I said yes, God, and lo and behold, He was right. So being part of the will of God is knowing what the Spirit of God is telling us to do, to give us direction, to be right in the center of God's will. This may be a little far out for you, but I'm going to tell you anyway. So about 10 years ago, the Lord gave me some directions. I wasn't supposed to do anything with them because the event hadn't taken place yet. And so I was given a word that pretty much confirmed what the Holy Spirit had spoken to me. Isn't that great how God does that? He gives you a word, and then He brings somebody without them even knowing what they're saying, that it's really confirming the word that's already been given you by the Holy Spirit. I'm sure it's happened to you. So the Spirit, through this other man of God, confirmed what the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, and I didn't know what to do with it. Well, it was if an event occurred 10 years ago, possibly 11 years ago. And so in the last 12 months, all these years later, that was spoken to me, I didn't do anything with it because it had not unfolded. There was nothing I could do with it because it wasn't applicable. And so these years later, the last 12 months, this event transpired, and the word that I received 10 years ago was applied, and it gave me peace in knowing, because God had already spoken it to me 10 years prior to it happening. And so the confidence that I had in God was, wow, God, you prepared me 10 years ago. What's happening now? I know this is you. See, there's rest in that too. There's rest in knowing that, God, if you could tell me 10 years ago, you must know all things. Maybe the word is really right. He knows all things. And so he spoke that to me. And so when this thing transpired in the last 12 months, God gave me the peace to stand and just to stand, not to defend, not to say anything, just to stand and see God is taking care of it. So God will give us direction through the Holy Spirit that sometimes is way premature. And had I not thought about that, had I not had that in my spirit rather than throwing it away, didn't tell anybody. Some things that God speaks to you is not to be told to anyone else. It's just for you so that it strengthens you. So don't feel like you've got to tell everybody everything the Holy Spirit speaks to you. It's okay to just keep that in your heart. So that's what happened. Three, the advantage of the Holy Spirit is he brings us freedom. He brings us freedom. Really, I've said that in everything I've said. He brings freedom from the things that we rely upon. He gives us freedom to detach ourselves from the securities that we think we need in life. So right now there are places all over the world that are, and I'm just using this as an example. This is just came to mind. They're requiring people to get the shot, vaccine. And so I'm not going to give you we've got some of you here that's had it, some of you here that's not had it. So that's not where I'm going with this. What I'm saying is if the Spirit of God has told you, for example, not to get the vaccine, but yet your employer is telling you you're going to lose your job if you don't get it, a freedom comes when we say, God, show me what you want me to do. If you want me to have the vaccine, I'm going for the vaccine. If you don't want me to have the vaccine, I'm not. But God, show me the way. And so the freedom comes when we know we've heard from God, but what if I lose my job? And that is making sure we do what God has called us to do. We follow through on what he's called us to do, and God will bless us through the situation. He'll open a door, possibly. He'll shut a door, possibly. But he'll give you peace, and he'll cause you to walk in freedom so that your life is not dependent upon man, but your life is dependent upon God. Proverbs 14:12 says this, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now, I'll say this, while I'm there, I don't want to be misunderstood, please, is that you know that I'm a heart patient, and I love my doctor. He's a great doctor, and I would call him in a minute. And if he advises me to get the vaccine, you know what? I believe God sent him into my life. I'll take his word, his advice, and I'll have the vaccine. And so there are some situations that, whether it's the pacemaker, whether whatever it is that he advises against doing that, we need to be wise. Right? And part of wisdom is listening to the people that God, that we know that God has put in our path, to listen to them. There's freedom in that. But there's a way that seems right to man. It seems right to a man. We justify that right thing, but its end, the Bible says, is the way of death. He's given us freedom from strongholds. What holds us back? We're living in a community that has many strongholds. I don't know if it's stronger here in Glen County or St. Simon's than it is anywhere else. We've been here all of our life. All I know that there are strongholds here that the Holy Spirit can break just that quick. And so the Holy Spirit wants to break strongholds that hold us back. He wants to break bondages. He wants to break chains that very much tie us to the ground. But freedom is imparted as we receive the Holy Spirit, as we apply him to our life, as we live and breathe what he wants to do in our life. He brings freedom and breaks any bondages that we have. I'm sure there are things that come into your mind right now, things that the Holy Spirit, I believe, wants to release you from. He wants to release you from situations. Maybe it's the past. Maybe there's some things in your past that the Lord wants to release you from and to break those chains. Romans 8 and 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, there it is. If the Spirit of God dwells in us, he lives in us. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So tiredness, frustration, burnout, bondage, all these things, as I said, God wants to break through the Holy Spirit. these things and bring us freedom. We've already read 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So if the Spirit of God dwells in us, He wants to bring us to a place of liberty. Number four, I need to move on. Number four, the advantage of the Holy Spirit, He gives us power. I've already alluded to this. The power that He gives us the ability to overcome things that we cannot overcome on our own. He gives us the power to push through things that we don't have the ability to push through. He gives us the strength to face things that we could not ordinarily face. Obstacles, situations, problems that we deal with, sometimes daily. Power comes by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:4-5, Paul says this, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." We can't put into words the power of God. It's not based on the wisdom of men. We can talk all day, and if you take what small words I can develop to describe it, it's not adequate. But when we come into connection with the Spirit of God, the power, the Holy Spirit, we receive the power of God that's much greater than what we can describe in our wisest words. The power of God demonstrates through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. And lastly, the Holy Spirit brings anointing. Anointing. It's not good enough for me just to speak words to you without the anointing of God. Without the anointing of God on the words that I speak right now to you are just words. But the anointing is God, and I love what Crystal prayed and prays every Sunday, and that is, God anoint Mike's lips. As my lips are anointed, we know the Word of God's anointed. I mean, it was written under the anointing. So the Word of God is anointed. But as I speak, if it's not anointed by God, it's not going to bring the fruit that God wants it to bring. It needs to be anointed so that you receive it and so that it imparts what God wants it to impart. It's got to come out of the Word of God. But God can bring an anointing on anything. The Holy Spirit anoints what He wants to anoint to accomplish His work. It could be a child. We know that little Bailey was up here last year, whenever it was, singing. And we know that the words that she was singing was anointed by God because it imparted people, and people began to cry and worship God. And it's through that anointing. A song is a great song, but when you get the anointing on it, I knew Crawford would agree with me, when the anointing of God is on a song, that makes all the difference in the world. A song can be a great song, but with the anointing, it's exceptional. And that's where worship songs come in. It brings glory to God. But it's the anointing upon everything that we do. The Holy Spirit wants to anoint everything you touch. Small acts of kindness. The very words you speak, thank you. A thank you could be so anointed till it can change somebody's life. Did you know that? The anointing can fall on anything that you say or do, or anything you touch, everywhere you go, step you take. And He can create a change in your environment based on His anointing upon your life, which is what we want. God, just anoint me by your Holy Spirit. Anoint me in the things that I don't even know I'm doing, so that as I do those things, it brings glory to God. That should be our heart. Not that we pick and choose. Well, anoint me during this part of the day. But this part of the day, I don't really need your anointing. I need to operate in the flesh here. But no, if God, we ask, invite the Holy Spirit in our life to anoint every part of our life, whether we're fishing, playing golf, or teaching the Word of God. Believe me, I need the anointing when I'm singing at club. We need God's anointing all the time so that He accomplishes what He wants to accomplish in us. So it's by the Holy Spirit He brings that anointing. He brings His presence. You know, when somebody speaks, you know that there's anointing upon their life. And that anointing is what the Bible says breaks the yoke. It breaks bondages. It breaks things in our life because the words that come forth are anointed by God to accomplish what He sets out to accomplish. Luke 4:18-19 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." You can't heal the brokenhearted without the anointing of God. It's not possible for us to say something to bring healing to somebody without the anointing of God's word. To heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Did you know that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit? Jesus was anointed. In Acts 10, 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. It goes on to say, with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. In 2021, if there's one thing that we need in our life, it's the anointing of God. And the same anointing that God put on Jesus by the Holy Spirit is the same anointing that he wants to place on you today and impart on you today. And it's not by anything except by you being ready and asking and willing for God to put the Holy Spirit in your heart, that it'll become alive, that it'll cause you to live, that it'll cause you to operate, rest. We need the Holy Spirit to bring rest. We need the Holy Spirit to bring us direction. What am I going to do tomorrow, Tuesday, the decisions I've got to make? You know, Charles, you were just talking about God's opened the door for the housing situation tomorrow. You're signing papers tomorrow. The Holy Spirit, I believe, has lined all that up. It's not coincidence. Oh, it's all fell into place. It's just coincidence. No, it's not. It's because Charles and Elise has been praying for this time, for a long time. And the Lord is opening the door. By the Holy Spirit, he's moving upon all the... This is not the best time to be buying a house, unless you want to pay top dollar. But you know what? God's anointing can cause it out. Isn't that right, Cornell? God's anointing can cause it all to work out to where it's in your favor. God can bring favor into your life because his anointing is upon it for direction, for freedom, for power, and for anointing. Crawford, come on up. So my prayer today for you, my prayer today for me and for all of us is that we realize the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our life. The Holy Spirit came so that we can live daily in him. Not just on Sunday. Lord, bring me your power on Sunday. That's good. But you know what? We need God's power, his presence, the Holy Spirit with us all the 7 days of the week. 24/7. To work in and through us. I mean, because all these five things that I've given you today, these are things that we need every day. Without rest, we're not operating in full strength, even in our carnal ability. Without direction, we could be going south when we should be headed north. Should be coming east instead of going west. Direction. The Holy Spirit knows the direction that we're to go in. Freedom. We need to be free from the cares and the things of this world and this life that hold us back. Freedom from worry. Freedom from anxiety. Freedom from thinking we need to have control. Freedom to allow the Holy Spirit to give us that rest and that direction so that we can move in freedom and be free of all the cares of this life. Even when bad news comes your way, you're free because you rest in him. And the power, so that you have the power to do the things that you know you want to do and the things that you know that God wants you to do, the power. Prayed for someone just this morning that the power of God would come upon her, that she would be free from anything that holds her back, any pain from her body. You know what? The power of the Holy Spirit can drive out all those things that try to discourage us, that try to get our eyes off of God. The power to overcome obstacles. The power to believe when all we want to do is doubt. The power to trust God instead of worry and fret and be anxious for nothing. And the anointing to operate in. That we know that as we speak the words that we speak, that it's the anointing of God speaking through us. Is that you today? Are you with me? Let's stand together.